Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Gregory Reed, who's written a fascinating book which we carry called Diary of a Devil Hunter. Now, that sounds like a pretty dramatic title, and yet, of course, you really can't understand what is going on today. The effort to destroy America, the effort to destroy our national sovereignty, to allow unbridled immigration, to deliberately dumb down the educational standards of our children, to destroy the morality of our people, to undermine belief in Christianity. You can't really understand the wars, the epidemics, the creation of new diseases, the putting of fluoride in our drinking water, to poison the minds of our children, and mercury into the shots given to our children, to poison their minds, and the use of certainly NutraSweet, which they know, of course, is a CNS toxin and produces cancers. How would you explain all of these things? Unless it was organized evil, on a scale that is little understood and grasped by most people. Well, Gregory, I'm going to let Gregory tell you his story, because he's been involved in this for a long time, having come from a situation where he was subject to sexual and satanic abuse as a child. Gregory, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes, sir. Well, I was born and raised in Southern California, in a very good home. My father was a police officer. And got caught up into some adult groups, was actually just kind of forced into them without my parents' knowledge, and involved in occult activities and ritual sacrificial murder, child pornography, and practiced the occult until I was 15 years old, and broke away from it when I was 15, ended up in Bible school at 19, and when I moved to El Paso, Texas in 1987, I ended up taking on work as a hired trainer for law enforcement on occult-related crimes, which is in combination with what I do in, as far as youth intervention. I've been training police officers on occult-related crimes ever since that time and continue to do so.
Well, you know, I think for the average individual listening to a program like this, they say occult-related crimes, and then they sort of think that's something you see on television, and then they think back, and of course there was that fella, that crazy fella Charles Manson, and Sharon Tate, and all of those folks who were all caught up in something here, 20 or 40 years ago. But the average individual doesn't understand that Charles Manson was part of a much larger satanic movement here in the United States called the Process Church of the Final Judgment. Would you like to pick up on that thought a little bit?
Well, the organizational end of that is very important for people to understand. And, of course, if people have a hard time, if they have to go back as far as Charles Manson, who was a member of the OTO, which was a practicing occult group.
And, of course, that was Aleister Crowley's group, good old
right.
Aleister Crowley. And we're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest today, Gregory Reed, Diary of a Devil Hunter. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest today is Gregory Reed, and Gregory became involved with satanic activity when he was a very young boy. I was able to get out of the rituals and the human sacrifices and all of these things by the time he was 15. And when he got out of college, out of high school, he went to a Bible college and became a licensed minister. But he has actually spent, since the early 1980s, efforts to educate people in the general community, giving lectures to law enforcement, groups and law enforcement officers about satanic and ritual crime here in the United States. Now, there's an organized effort on the part of high government officials to say that this sort of thing doesn't exist. And when you point out some of the satanic ritual abuse and multiple murders that have taken care of, well, they said that was in Mexico. That thing really wouldn't happen here. And yet, of course, it does happen here. Charles Manson was simply one example. Another was, of course, David Berkowitz, the son of Sam Keller, who was part of the it was affiliated with the church, part of the Process Church, the Final Judgment. And this was a worldwide, nationwide satanic church. But all of these belong, tie in together. Gregory was just saying that Charles Manson had been affiliated with the OTO. That was, of course, Aleister Crowley's group. So you pick up the story there, Gregory.
Well, that was a very involved situation, of course, and I was living in Southern California, so I was kind of aware of a lot of the activity had been taking place. Actually, Charlie Manson was part of a group that met in Topanga Canyon, California, where there was a huge house that was strictly devoted to satanic sacrificial and orgiastic purposes. But one doesn't have to look that far back. One has to just look at the murder of Pamela Vitale down in your part of the country, which was perpetrated by a young man of 16 who was very deeply involved in the occult, or the JonBenet Ramsey murders, which I believe were very intimately tied with child pornography and child trading type groups. Or you could look, no further than right over the border from where I'm at. There have been over close to 400 or more murders of young female women who had been murdered and raped and mutilated that is extremely occult-related, and no one can solve the crime because they keep killing off everybody who is trying to investigate the case.
Now, is this in Mexico?
That's in Juarez, Mexico. It's a five-minute walk from downtown from where I live.
Well, of course, it's that this really goes on in the world today. And that we do not see this other than on television, and then it's all make-believe. But unfortunately, make-believe often is reality. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Gregory Reed, and we're talking about his efforts over the last 25 years, studying, lecturing, trying to awaken people. And certainly you've worked with, really, and given many, many lectures to police officers and police forces, haven't you?
Yes, over probably close to 300 classes now. And they're 8-hour blocks of just strictly law enforcement. It has to do with recognizing crime scenes and symbology and actual histology of occult crimes. And they're very effective classes. And it's very important that they understand what they're dealing with. When you deal with a situation, for example, up in Modesto, California, it's a matter of connecting the dots when you deal with the Scott Peterson case. Who his first statement to the authorities was, I don't know who killed my wife. He said, no, I know who did it. I didn't do it myself, but I know who did. And when that case broke, when you have the instincts, when you have the information, everything starts to dovetail. It happened on Christmas, and that is a very important date to people who practice Satanism because it's a mockery of Mary and baby Jesus. And Lacey Peterson was pregnant. So it was kind of a no-brainer for me. Of course, they poo-pooed the whole idea that it was satanic. But I got a phone call from somebody from ABC News who had found me on the Internet and was saying, well, you know, this is Modesto. I said, well, yeah, this is Modesto. You had five people slaughtered in a satanic ritual 3 years before, which they did. And, of course, Modesto is the home to the infamous kidnapping of young Stephen Stainer, who was kidnapped from the age of 7 to... I don't know, close to 14 years old. His perpetrator got a whole 2.5 years in prison. But the mystery side of that is his older brother ended up going on after that and decapitating two women in Yosemite. And I told this guy, I said, you got to start connecting the dots here. Something's wrong with Modesto. Something organized is taking place. And once the police officers and probation officers start to connect the dots and learn how to get the big picture, they start to see that there's a very good possibility that a lot of these things are more organized than they first thought.
Well, are you suggesting that perhaps Scott Peterson wasn't involved with his wife's murder, or he was, but would never dare say the truth?
I would say, this is merely speculation, but all my instincts and everything that I've learned so far tell me that he may or may not have done it. That he's a bad person is without question. He's an evil person. My guess is he probably paid somebody, and he's paid the price, because once you get caught, they will not protect you.
All right, fine. So, his defense lawyer wanted to bring out this theory that it was part of a satanic ritual, murder, and the judge wouldn't let them bring all that fact out in court.
Well, there's a good reason for that, unfortunately, and there's two reasons. First of all, the courts, and we've had to learn the hard way, that when you get to court, you have to leave out the occult end of it, or you will lose the case. You have to prosecute on bare evidence. Otherwise, they will find, they have a million different ways they can have it dismissed because you bring up the occult end of it. I don't like that, but that's the way it is. But the other angle on that is, unfortunately, I knew from the minute I heard somebody say that the defense attorney was talking about Satanism, that someone had gotten to the defense lawyer and had planted a bunch of information that may or may not have been true. And I know who the individual is, and I'm not at liberty to say, but he's the kind of person that likes to insinuate himself in these cases to make a name for himself and ends up blowing the case, and that's exactly what happened.
All right, fine. Well, certainly there's a lot of questions. You know, I don't think there's any question that Scott Peterson was a real scoundrel. And I wouldn't be surprised if he was involved with his wife's murder, whether he did it or not himself. But let's get on some of the other issues here. Now, you've certainly had a great deal of resistance from people highly placed in the FBI, haven't you?
Yes, particularly Special Agent Ken Lanning, who is now gratefully retired. But he has gone around the country for the last 10 years and made us look like a bunch of idiots and said that he's never found any proof, and this is all just village folklore. Which, you know, I'd written him at some point, I said, look, I've got two file cabinets full of working cases. You're more than welcome to look at them. And, of course, he was he declined to do that. But after a while, they had a case in Louisiana just recently. Almost 15 people in a Christian church involved in satanic rituals. The pastor, who was actually a Satanist, confessed to the police that they were sacrificing animals, that they were raping children and videotaping them. And the minute the case broke, the FBI got Ken Lanning out of retirement, sent him down to Louisiana, and just totally buried the case. That's the best way I can put it.
And so there is an active effort on people at the highest levels of our government to keep the American people from knowing the truth. Would that be a fair statement?
I would say that there are people in place that would just assume this not come out in the open because there's a great deal of money and power involved.
Well, do you think that there are people in positions of power in the government who are actually themselves involved in Satanism and satanic rites and ritual murder?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. It's hard to know exactly who those people are, but we had one case where a friend of mine was working on a very involved case involving five families from several generations who had all been abused, ritually abused, at different time frames over a 30-year period, in the same little confines of using a Mormon church in a particular part of the country. And my friend, who's a police officer, was about ready to hand out search warrants and arrest warrants and everything else, and they literally flew in a state senator who happened to be affiliated with the Mormon church and completely closed down the case. So there's no question in my mind that there are people involved in the cover-up.
And, you know, for a lot of our listeners who poo-poo this idea, remember, it was Hillary Clinton who invited Jean Houston into the White House to conjure up the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt and Mohandas Gandhi. But then, of course, we have to remember that Nancy Reagan was deeply involved with astrology, and she was regularly getting consultations from her astrologer so she could advise her husband as to how to run the affairs of state. And I happen to have a personal friend in medicine who's a close associate was the astrologer that Nancy went to. So we have sort of bipartisan occultism at the highest levels of our government, but we don't like to think about that sort of thing because we have our heroes. And if you're a Democrat, you probably love Hillary, and if you're a Republican, you love Nancy. But, of course, we have people in both political parties whose allegiance is not to America, but, of course, to these spiritual forces that are at work within our society. Now, certainly, you know, what about the churches? What sort of response have you gotten? Because you've been at this, and you put your time into it, you know, as much as you can. What about the churches? Will the churches invite you in, let you lecture, inform or educate the Christians of this country about the true spiritual battle in which we're engaged?
It's a very complicated answer. Let me see if I can formulate an answer. No, they won't.
All right, fine. The answer is no. Well, there must be a few ministers who at least are not afraid to discuss this issue, or are there?
There are a few. They're very scattered, and once you start to bring this issue out, you know, there's a lot of resistance. We're trying to organize some youth outreaches in Ohio for March, and we're getting a great deal of resistance. And frankly, I don't understand it, because the witchcraft is the most popular religion in the Western world among youth today. And, well, what are we going to do about it? How can we help them? I mean, it's like one girl said, who was a Satanist, she said to one of the kids we were helping, she said, how can you expect me to believe that your God has power when you don't believe it? And if we don't believe that the power of God is able and capable not just to rescue these children, but to deal with the spiritual darkness that they're involved with, what hope do we hope to extend to this generation? There's nothing.
And I think anybody who really doubts it, these are powerful forces that only go up on the Internet to Google and Google in Wicca, or witchcraft, or Satanism, or Luciferianism, or Rosicrucianism, or the OTO, that was the Satanic Organization of Aleister Crowley, or Theosophy, or, and we could go on down the line of the list of all of these organizations founded in the occult. And yet you'll find literally hundreds of thousands of sites witches right here in the United States. So, you know, it almost in some ways, Gregory, seems that we're losing the battle against these dark and sinister occult forces. Certainly, they get a lot of, you know, play in Hollywood and on the television, and the average American, a lot of them think that witchcraft is sort of a funny thing. You know, Sabrina's the witch and all these nice witches, and they're all such funny people.
Well, and that's, you know, and this is very attractive to kids, obviously. And my fear for the church is not so much that, you know, I mean, obviously there's a lot of deception, but my fear in this hour, Doctor, is not that we're going to be deceived, but that we're going to be irrelevant, and that we're going to be useless, and that we're going to be impotent. And I was reading with some of our young people today about the story of Elijah. And the minute Elijah was taken to heaven, Elisha wasted no time in taking Elijah's mantle and saying, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And I know from personal experience, because I've done a number of deliverances and exorcisms over the years, part of what I do, these people do not respond to anything but the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And if the church can't pick that up and start to get to where the kids live, we're going to lose a whole other generation to this.
And I really think it's really such a tragic situation that people do not want to face the reality of what is going on. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, and the church, at least most churches, don't want to address this issue because it's not politically correct. And I really believe that there are people, agents, who've been planted in churches all across America to keep these subjects from being brought up. Have you run into that at all?
Actually, I have some very dear friends that are part of my ministerial alliance, and they were given a whole condominium in D.C., that was taken over from drug dealers so that they could start a church and a rehab. And they brought in a couple that they knew fairly well, and they became their best friends, and they were doing very well for about a year. And they'd pray together every week, and all of a sudden, everything fell apart. I'll continue this after the break if we're going to take a break.
All right, well, we got about 40 seconds, but that's all right. I think, ladies and gentlemen, this is such a very important subject for you to recognize, and that these are not imaginary things. And of course, you go to our website, you get our three pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. There are literally dozens of secret societies. They're working over in Iran. Well, the secret society that the president of Iran belongs to is intent upon plunging the world into a holocaust, a worldwide nuclear holocaust. And it's going to affect you, ladies and gentlemen. You better find out what it's about. And there are other secret societies here that have exactly the same agenda. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Go right ahead, Gregory.
Let me kind of recap that. There was a couple who had a ministry in D.C., and they had a very close couple working with them, and everything was going well for about a year. And then everything fell apart. The finances fell apart. They were getting shot at. All sorts of things were happening. And so the couple got on their knees and said, "Father, show us what's going on." And the Lord revealed to them that it was the couple that were their closest friends. And they were so stunned, they didn't know what to do. So they agonized, and they finally brought their friends over and said, "This is what God showed us, that you're the problem." And this couple that they had known and been intimately involved with in terms of ministry looked at them and started laughing, and they said, "We're Satanists. You are our project. We win."
And unfortunately, this is the reality that sort of thing really does go on today. And there are people who have been planted in the Christian church to neutralize the Christians. And if the Christians don't understand there's a battle going on, how can you possibly fight it? Well, now, of course, you know, you mentioned on one of our earlier programs that there were about 300 people who were affiliated with you and your movement 25 years ago. What happened to them?
A number of them got burned out and just decided to quit because it's the most thankless job you could even imagine. Several were discredited for issues in their personal life. We had several that I consider heroes of the faith that have passed away. Valerie Wolf, who actually went before college, she was a psychologist who went before Congress and brought the issue of mind control experimentation. She passed away. We lost Yvonne Peterson to a very strange illness. She had the flu, and a day later she died, and she was only in her 50s. And the list goes on and on. And we had a lot of people who went through agonizing divorces and their families turning away from them. And so there's only a few of us left. And, you know, this gets to the point where some Christians will say, well, it's just easy for them to say, well, Jesus has the victory. Listen, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when Jesus died on the cross, he won the ultimate victory for our spiritual lives. But there's still a war going on for the souls of people, and the battle is very real. Mario Murillo from up there in Northern California said, the Christian life is not like a war. The Christian life is a war. And until we come to terms with that, we're pretty impotent in dealing with the forces that are out there.
And I think this is really such an important issue that you bring up. It's very hard to just stay in this battle year in, year out, decade in, decade out. And yet, of course, it's only by our perseverance. And as you get older, hopefully you get smarter and you learn more on how to deal with this sort of thing. Because if you don't know how to deal with this, you try to do this with your own power, you're going to be destroyed. The only strength any of us have is the blood of Jesus Christ that we can call upon and his personal sacrifice for us. That is what the power is. And that is what the Satanists and the witches and, of course, these people who are involved with the occult fear more than anything, because many of them, of course, are inhabited by demonic spirits, and the demons fear the name of Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And one of the things that I've learned through, like I said, doing a number of deliverances or exorcisms, whatever people want to call it, is that the name of Jesus Christ is the only thing that these people really fear. They don't fear, they don't fear hardly anything else. They know that if you know who you are in Jesus Christ, that you are a real legitimate threat, and they'll do anything they can to avoid confrontation. And so when we get in a situation with a person who has been taken over by these things, we can get them back. There's no question about that. But there's very few people who have been involved in the occult that can come out unless they've really been through a legitimate extraction of demonic forces in their life.
All right, fine. We'll be back in just a moment with Gregory. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Gregory was telling us before we went to the break about a couple, and they, of course, had been given a home, an apartment, and they were trying to certainly do the Lord's work and addressing these spiritual battles, and they had another couple that worked with them, and certainly this other couple, they would pray together on a daily basis. They were their best friends, and yet everything went from bad to worse, and until finally the couple prayed and asked the Lord for guidance, and it became obvious that it was their friends, supposedly these people who were there to help them, that were actually the source of all of their problems. And when they confronted them, the friends broke into laughter and said, "Why, we're Satanists, you're right, and you are our project. We were sent here to disrupt what you're doing." People say that really couldn't go on in this world. And I would ask you, ladies and gentlemen, look around. Look at what's happening. Look at what's happening to the stability of our homes. Look what's happened to the morality of our youth. Look at the 45 million children who have been aborted in America. Look how our tax money is being spent to push family planning and abortion throughout the world. And hundreds of millions of children have been aborted using your tax dollars. And look how we've outlawed the use of DDT throughout the world and killed 100 million people and fostered wars throughout the world. All the wars of the last century that have killed well over 100 million people and supported communism that killed well over 100 million people. And it goes on and on, because the driving force behind all of the wars and the revolutions and communism is basically Satanism. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I just read an older book that was written in 1985 by Reverend Richard Wurmbrand, who spent 14 years in a Romanian prison, communist prison. And the book was about Marx and Satanism. And he detailed very carefully how both Marx and Engels, the founders of communism, were at one time dedicated Christian young people. And something happened to them. And there's a lot of evidence that they ended up very committed to worshiping the devil, and that communism had nothing to do in its original form with social equity. It all had to do with dethroning God. And all the statements they made along the way have attested to that. And, of course, the Holocaust that communism has produced, they have said many times, this is about making man God and taking God off of his throne. And that's the reality behind it.
And for our listeners out there, we do carry that book, Marx and Satan, by Reverend Richard Wurmbrand. We think it's one of the more important books, written by a man who was tortured for 14 years for his faith. Anyway, you know, as you begin to read this, and of course you try to tell people, and most people really don't want to hear this sort of thing. We like to hear nice things. You know, we like to hear about the Olympics. We like to, and once in a while we have to hear some nice things. We can't dwell on all the bad things, but we live in an evil and fallen world. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. And it's a matter of, like I said the other night, an optimist sees the glass half full, a pessimist sees it half empty. My spiritual philosophy is just to drink the water. You have to be a realist, whatever that glass may contain. You have to deal with life as a Christian in reality. We can't escape, and we can't despair. We have every reason to be victorious in our realizing that, yes, this is a war, but this life is not all there is. And as I said in Devil Hunter, the point is not whether you win or lose, but don't we have to do something, regardless of whether we win or lose, children?
I think we're all called to do something, and I think one day we'll stand before the throne of judgment and be asked, what did you do? And I believe that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and we're told we're to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ephesians 11 and 12, and I suggest people get it out and read it and understand we are called to be involved, not simply to stand aside and leave the job up to somebody like Gregory, who is pretty much out there all on his own. Now, do you think that the average police officer has much grasp of this? I knew you were doing a lot of lectures, 25 years ago, but are still police forces still interested in understanding the background of these satanic rituals and satanic crimes that are so prevalent in our society today?
Well, I think they are, if they understand that there's people available to give this information. We've had to retrain, because we retrained thousands of officers in the late 80s. And then the backlash came to try and say, well, this stuff was all made up, so we lost a lot of them, so we're having to retrain a whole new generation. But I'm very hopeful that they're not only trainable, but they're very willing.
Well, of course, one of the great things that they really did, they came up with something called the false memory syndrome. And when we first went on to the radio, we were besieged with calls from people who were telling us all these people who think that they were satanically, ritually abused when they were children, it's all false memory. It was implanted in their minds by their therapist, and perhaps occasionally, on some occasion it might have been, but the majority of them were not. Many of these children have been severely traumatized. They have, of course, split personalities. And it was imposed upon them because of their satanic ritual abuse. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Gregory Reed, and we were talking about the false memory syndrome. And the fact that there were so many young people who developed dissociative personalities, we call it split personalities, but I'm going to let you go ahead and talk about that.
Well, just to encapsulate, the False Memory Syndrome Foundation was founded by a man and his wife. The father was accused by his daughter, who was still a respected teacher at a major university. She had had to come to terms with the molestation that had taken place. She worked with their therapist. Her therapist recommended that they have a confrontation meeting. The father denied everything, and instead of trying to do something about the situation, he went out immediately and founded the False Memory Foundation and started to accuse his daughter of lying and of trying to, humiliate him. She wasn't even public at that point. And then they took on some very questionable and nefarious people on their board of advisors. But this organization was so powerful that they cut a swath through this country that literally ruined every case that I was working on from about 1989 to 1995 on behalf of children. A perfect example was a young boy we were fighting for. His mom had actually fled, and I have read almost 200 pages of his outcries of being sodomized and photographed by his father. I mean, he's only 6 years old, and the state of California said, "We can't tell you this officially, but if we were you, we would never allow the father to see this child again." The FBI found her, arrested her, put her in bail with a $250,000 bond, which some murderers don't get. And it went right up to trial when someone paid her attorney's way to go to Las Vegas to attend a False Memory Syndrome conference. And he came back, and in the preliminary hearing in court, he said, "Your Honor, I want off of this case." And he turned to the mother and said, "I don't believe your little boy anymore." And so he was returned to his perpetrator.
And, of course, and it sounds incredible that this sort of thing could go on in America. But then, of course, we had developed a situation where the children were suing the parents for the abuse. And then that, of course, gave the idea that everybody was just out to make money and tended to actually discredit the whole concept, didn't it?
Yeah, and that hurt us a great deal. But one thing I learned, I went to a prosecutor's conference, and I almost walked out, but this was supposed to be the good guys. And the guy that was teaching said, "This is what you need to understand. When you get to court, the truth doesn't matter. What matters is, how good can you make your client look?" And I thought, we're going to lose, because how good can you make a 7-year-old child that's been sodomized over 3 years look? They're not going to look sane.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Gregory Reed, and we're talking about the False Memory Syndrome. And there really are a lot of children that do have memories of actually being satanically ritually abused, and we actually know some of them, at least one of them who goes to our church, and we have our 4-tape sets on Satanism and deliverance, Satanism, deliverance, her story of how she was able to overcome this. But certainly a lot of these people do develop the dissociative personalities, don't they, after being satanically ritually abused as children?
Yeah, they absolutely do. And some people, and I have to agree to some extent, it's almost a gift from God, because when a child cannot handle that kind of trauma anymore, something happens mentally that they're able to escape into a place that is totally separate from the abuse that's going on. That's how they survive.
And in fact, we had a television program a few years ago called The Pretender, which was basically that story. Everybody thought it was funny. It was entertainment. This is a very talented young man who had all of this wonderful ability to be everyone, because, of course, he'd been kidnapped as a small child and taken to some sort of a government agency. It's a fascinating story. The trouble is, it was based on truth, but the average individual never knew that. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call and have a question for Gregory, his book is The Diary of a Devil Hunter. We actually carry the book. It's a fascinating read. In fact, one of our someone we know who has been through this sort of thing when she was very young got hold of the book and was so taken with it that she's got our copy, and so we've ordered some more, and they should be here by now. And so we will have them, The Diary of a Devil Hunter. You need to understand, this is not imaginary. This is the reality of what's going on. Well, we've got Bart calling from where Bart is calling from. Oh, hi, it's Bart from Carmel. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Fine, sir. Thank you very much. Sir, your courage is inspirational. I do have a question, but first I must say that I was tuning through the TV the other day recently, and just to see what's on. I don't watch much TV, and I came upon some video of the band Motley Crue, a well-known, popular, successful band known by all young people. It showed them on the stage performing, and on either side of the stage, brightly lit but unadorned, plain but brightly lit, approximately 6 to 8 feet tall, maybe taller, were two crystal clear pentagrams right there for the whole world to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I move about in society, I try to observe young people and listen to what they're talking about, and you'll see a lot of satanic tattoos as well as jewelry. And I am thinking to myself sometimes that the satanic establishment would not go to this much trouble to initiate these young people if they did not have a job planned for them a little bit further down the road. I remember when I was a young brainwashed socialist how I hated Christians. I could not give you a reason why if you were to ask me, but I did, because it's part of the programming. Of course, I'm a Christian now. I grew up.
Okay, we're going to have to move on because we got a full board, Bart. Anything else you want to say? Have
I
a question?
I wanted to ask what he thinks the job might be in store for these young people in the future. Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much.
Well, the job for the future for the ones that these bands are reaching out to is simply to self-destruct, because that chaos, they believe, creates power for them.
And, of course, that's why they sacrifice. That's why they kill people, isn't it? Isn't that because they get power when they shed human blood?
Yeah, and you can recruit somebody, and you don't ever have to shed a drop of blood. If somebody you recruit does it, you believe you get the power.
Okay, well, let's go to Justin, who's calling us from Canada. Hi, Justin, where are you calling from?
Oh, no, Dean, it's just Dean, that's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Got a question. Some years back, to be more precise, half a century ago, Bishop Fulton Sheen, I have the book Disasters with the front pages of New York Times, and there's an article on him where he says that the Red agents, the communists, tried to infiltrate the priesthood. And now there were bits and whispers that I've gleaned from different broadcasters saying that he was, shall we say, gotten conveniently out of the way, or shoved aside, actually. What ever became of Bishop Sheen after about a half century ago, after he started warning about what the communists were doing?
Do you have any thoughts on that at all?
No, except I think he died of natural causes, as far as I know. But there have been a number of other people, like Malachi Martin, that certainly died before his time when he wrote a fiction a book that outlined the infiltration of the Catholic Church between the pedophiles and the Satanists. And I have often wondered if he was not taken care of.
I think that Bishop Sheen was just told to be quiet. He had a tremendous following in this country, and I've read some of his writings, and he was just a very intelligent man who loved the Lord. But, you know, we actually have a four-tape set of interviews with Malachi Martin, and I will tell you, if you're coming from a Catholic perspective or even a Protestant perspective, you will learn so much about the Catholic Church from those interviews. They really are outstanding. One of the best tape sets we have, the wisdom of Malachi Martin. So anything else, Justin? Dean?
Oh, that's okay. Thought that since they have scarcely ever dealt with Bishop Sheen in recent decades, that being another example, too, of how they're trying to get it out of our consciousness so they can put in the garbage in the vacuum, I thought it important to raise his name because he did really slam the communists and referred to them as wolves.
Right. Of course, the thing is that the homosexuals really took over the Catholic Church. This is one of the great problems, and we've done a number of interviews on that, interviews with the author of a book called Goodbye, Good Men. And he, of course, went into a Catholic seminary, and he was simply told, if you're not homosexual, we don't want you. What a tragic commentary that is. Anyway, God bless. Thanks so much for calling. Let's go to Frank, who's calling from West Virginia. Hi, Frank.
Well, hello. I have two questions. I've been, first of all, I'd just like to say that I run into people and witness to people all the time, and hearing, even in little West Virginia, that are into Wicca or some variation of their own self-stylized paganism. And some of them even consider themselves Christians, unusually enough, but I guess they try to fit in with the culture but still want to do their own thing. I have a question, though. In your experience, how often is ritualized sacrifice involved with this type of let's say, our American culture with these Wiccans and pagans?
Very rarely. They've made great strides in making sure that blood sacrifice is not part of what they do. Now, it sounds funny, probably, hearing me come to the defense of the Wiccans, but as much as I disagree 100% with their spiritual values, we've done a lot of research on this, and there are those that cross the line, but most Wiccans, they stay on the side of the law.
No, what about the Satanists, though, and the Luciferians?
Oh, Satanists, it's required, except for the Church of Satan in San Francisco, up in your neck of the woods, say they don't require blood sacrifice. They teach against it. Well, we've got, I think, four Church of Satan high priests across the country that are in jail for pedophilia right now. But other than that, you know, we've the ones that commit the crime from the Church of Satan are ones that the Church of Satan quickly disowns. But, you know, I think that's kind of an excuse because their philosophy is do what you will.
Because a lot of these people associate with Aleister Crowley, the Crowleyites, the OTO, they're into that, into human sacrifice, aren't they?
Right, and the thing people need to understand is when you're dealing with things like Church of Satan and your average standard solo practitioner, those are the gum under the feet of the real players. They're not real players. They're disposables. They will never understand the true agenda of the Luciferians, who are simply using their particular community as a power grab, that's all.
Okay, wait.
My second question is related in the sense the other extreme. In government officials that are involved with this type of thing, after studying a little bit about the Bohemian Grove and, we recently, with the election of Skull and Bones and some of these different occultic organizations, and also relating to the mass murder of people on such as the Twin Towers of 9/11, and other types of disasters to bring about an agenda. Let's say, how many, do you have any idea of how widespread this type of human sacrifice, whether it be implied or actual, is involved at the higher levels of government?
Well, I have to be very careful because as a law enforcement trainer, I have to deal in what's knowable fact. And so I have to say, as I've told many of my law enforcement audiences, it's not a matter of quantity. It's a matter of strategic placement of individuals. So I would say that human sacrifice, it goes on, and it may go on at the highest levels. It may not be in the hundreds of thousands, but it's the fact that there are people in high places that are doing this at all that needs to concern us.
Okay, we're going to have to move on. Thanks so much
Thank
for
you.
Calling, Frank. Let's go to, is this Dale? Pardon me, is this Thomas? Hello?
Yes, it is, Yes, it is. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Do you hear me?
Yes, I can. This is Thomas calling from Sweden. How are you doing, Thomas?
I'm doing wonderfully. How's yourself?
Doing just fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, if it's a question or a reflection, I heard this phrase, the investigations met with interference from the highest level. All right?
Yes.
And I thought of Jesus fasting in the desert. And then he is tempted by the devil that if he worships the devil, he will give him all of the kingdoms of the earth. Do I need to say more?
Okay, that's, in other words, he couldn't make that offer unless he controlled them. And that, of course, is what this is all about. The devil is alive and well and working in governments all throughout the world today.
Well, and
can I come with one more thing? Sorry. Go ahead, please, Mr. Reed.
I was just going to say, Jesus himself said, the prince of this world has come and has found nothing in me. He is still the prince of this world. He still has the lease on the planet till Jesus comes back and revokes the contract. And we need to be aware of that. Everything that we do in this world, as a Christian, we're doing on enemy territory.
Amen. Okay, anything else, Thomas?
Yeah, there's just one thing. I'm trying to be a bit more positive in spite of the great threat, all right? And Mr. Reeves spoke of the glass half full and the glass half empty. Keep in mind, my cup runneth over.
Amen.
God bless you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yes, God
Tom.
Bless you all. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was Thomas from Sweden, and we've got Dale now from Aptos, and we do have time, I think, for one more call. Our telephone number then is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY and 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Hi, Dale. How are you doing?
Hey, wonderful afternoon, and question I have is about the Iraq War and the lineup of wars that are being presented to the world. But I was wondering what your perspective is on this either imperialism by the dark societies behind it, or how do you perceive what's going on with the Iraq War and coming wars?
Well, this is my own perspective, and I'm not sure how it's all going to play out, but I'm speaking as both a Christian by faith and as a Jew. The protection of Israel during this period of time is so crucial according to the Word of God.
Amen.
And I think a lot of what we see in the Middle East, regardless of what you may think about the people who are involved in the social strata, because there's always nations on the chessboard, but I think there are some people in place, good people, who are saying, we're not going to sacrifice Israel in this world game. And, you know, like or don't like the Iraq War, I'm thankful because I remember the Gulf War where Scud missiles were headed directly at Jerusalem. I have relatives living over there. And so whatever the higher agenda is as far as the One World Order, which we all know we're going in that direction, I'm thankful for every nation that has the capacity to destroy Israel that has that taken away from them.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Let's go. Now, is this Alan?
Yes.
All right, fine. And you're calling from Michigan?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. They have a question.
Yes, I was wondering, you know, about the JonBenet Ramsey murder. I was just wondering, they never heard anything about it, and I was just wondering if there was a tie-in to that in Satanism, whether she was a sacrificial offering or what.
I think very definitely there was something more to it. I was actually told by a police officer from the Denver area. She attended my training, and she said they will never get to the bottom of it because someone has thrown a lot of money at the police department to keep this thing shut up. JonBenet Ramsey was killed around Christmas, which is a sacrificial date. She was bound with white cord, which is a very druid practice. My best guess as an investigator is that she was probably part of some sort of sexual either film or ritual, and it went too far, and she actually died, and they had to scramble to cover it up. But these people are nuts. I mean, JonBenet's mother, I don't even know if she's still alive, but she was the most dissociated person I've ever seen on TV. As far as I'm concerned, she probably had the real answers and is never going to be able to tell us.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay.
And let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Stan. Back to the question of government officials practicing human sacrifice. Those people, most of our officials are puppets, and the ones, they have to be kept pretty clean. They can't get too involved, I think, for the most part. But the ones we have to be thinking about are the real governing non-officials, the ones who are pulling the strings, the puppet masters. You know, the power in our country is not in politics or military or even government. It's in the money. Those are the people pulling the strings of government, and we should be looking there for the problem of ritual human sacrifice, I believe. What do you think, Greg?
I think you're correct, and I think you have to understand the Luciferian way is actually what they call, very coincidentally, to remain clean, which means you get high enough that you order the sacrifices, but you don't have to do them.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I want people to keep in mind, in the Old Testament, there were good kings and there were bad kings. And even the best kings sometimes kept a little idol here or there. That doesn't justify it. But in all the despair and the understanding, the involvement of some government people, we have to understand, I believe God has placed good people in place to try and stem the tide of this darkness. And we need to identify those people and pray for those people that they would be able to at least hold back the tide until it's too late.
Pray for them, yeah. Because the other side has this nasty habit of killing whoever seriously opposes them.
Yeah, like the former director of the CIA.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot, Stan.
Thanks so much. Well, let's go to Danny, who's calling from Southern California. Hi, Danny. How you doing?
Okay. Real quick, I just was wondering if he'd done anything with Ted Gunderson and what he thinks about he's made some claims and stuff, and he seems to, I don't know, but he seems extremely credible to me.
All right, let's the subject comes up of Ted Gunderson, who at one time was the chief of the FBI office in the Los Angeles area, and he's been retired for many years, thrown out of the FBI Retired Officers Association because he was talking about pedophilia and the Franklin cover. What's your thought of Ted Gunderson?
I think he's got some good information, but for some very specific reasons, I cannot associate with him.
All right, fine. So there's your answer there, Danny. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up our program here at Radio Liberty. But I think that people have to recognize we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And we have to understand what that battlefield is about. And we are called, to take a stand in these evil times. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this afternoon's program here with Gregory Reed, author of Diary of a Devil Hunter. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have with us Gregory. Gregory, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What's the message you would like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, the first message is that there is no power besides the power of the name of Jesus Christ that can make a difference. The second thing is just kind of personal. I've reached my 52-year milestone today, and there was a time in my life that I never thought I would see past the age of 15. And I'm just so grateful to God that he picked me up out of the dust and he delivered me from darkness. And not just that, but he made my life. I mean, I've always known I'm on God's life support. I wasn't supposed to live past 15, and yet I've had all these years and continue to, and hope to have many more, to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I don't care if it's a Wiccan or a Satanist or a pedophile or a government Luciferian, the message is the same. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And as God is my help, I'm going to be proclaiming that word till the day I die.
Well, amen to that. And I think it's wonderful that you've had the courage, the calling, really. I'm sure it is a calling that has held you in this all these years. Others have been there and they've just had burnout. I think we all occasionally get burnout. I've had it a couple of times, but each time I like to think I come back a little stronger. But you've hung in there for 25 years trying to get this information out. Now, you will give talks. How can people get in touch with you and get information on your ministry?
Just go right on the website. It's www.gregoryreed.com. www.gregoryreed, that's spelled reid.com. I don't do telephone consultations because you can imagine that I would not ever be able to do anything else. But I do have emails, so if they can get on the website and are interested in having me come speak or just have questions, I'd be more than happy to help out.
All right, fine. That's gregoryreed.com, and that is R-E-I-D. And the book, Diary of a Devil Hunter, we recommend it. We think it's well done. It is... I think this whole thing will become a reality after you read Gregory's first-hand experiences dealing with this subject over a period of many, many years. And I think we are entering into the most difficult times of our nation's history. And I'm talking certainly within the next months or in the next 1 or 2 years. So anyway, God bless you, Gregory. I hope we can keep in touch with you. And if anything comes up, why, please let us know.
I sure will. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Bye-bye and God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, that was Gregory Reed, and I do hope that you enjoyed our interview with him. A lot of people don't like to hear about this sort of thing, but this is the reality of the world we live in. We live in a fallen world, in a fallen country, in a fallen society, and we'll only survive by the grace of God. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. If you want to get in touch with Gregory Reed, go to his website, www.gregoryreed.com. That's gregoryreed.com. We do carry his book, Diary of a Devil Hunter. If you'd like to get copies of my interviews, we've done several interviews with him that are quite good, and we will make those available for our listeners. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to get our 3 pamphlets set on the occult hierarchy. The occult hierarchy that rules the world is just a compilation of my letters and some of Dennis Cuddy's letters we put together in pamphlet form that will really help you understand what's going on. We have, of course, a pamphlet we put together on genetic engineering and, of course, how they create new diseases to kill off millions of people. Do you ever wonder where AIDS came from? Why there's not just one AIDS epidemic? There are about 8 different types of subtypes of that virus, which have not varied over the last 25 years. Where did they all come from? And where did chronic fatigue come from? And where did SARS come from? And where did Ebola come from? And where did Lyme disease come from? And could people really be creating new diseases to kill off millions of people? Well, if you don't have Lyme disease or chronic fatigue or AIDS, or well, you're probably not too interested in. But, of course, who knows what lies ahead? I believe we're entering into terrible, terrible times. And I think the only thing that's going to see any of this through is our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We do hope that you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. And you may want to get our pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. There are three of them. Our pamphlets on 911, foreknowledge, 911. Our pamphlets on We Are Republic. Certainly our pamphlet on the history of money. You need to understand what's really going on. If you'd like to get our DVD on the coming financial crisis, we recommend that to you. And some of the other things we have certainly are planned population reduction. You realize, of course, we've killed 100 million people, almost 100 million people, since we outlawed DDT back in 1973, not because it didn't work, but because it worked so well. It was saving so many lives from malaria, and aren't there too many people in the world? I mean, certainly abortion isn't able to kill off a number, and wars don't kill off a number. Disease is really quite effective, though. And if we could have a black plague every generation, why, we wouldn't have to worry about people reproducing. That's what Bertrand Russell said on page 103 of his book, The Impact of Science on Society. If you'd like the page, we'd be glad to send it to you. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. I need to remind you, we do carry the Berkey products. And if you get them to us, you'll get a free 4-tape set of video we produced. And then we also hope that many of you will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because, quite frankly, we need your help to continue doing what we're doing as we reach out across America, buying radio time on stations, trying to get people to understand what's really going on. And if you watch the war in Iraq, you're missing the whole thing. Not is the tragedy of what's unfolding there, but why are we financing the Pakistanis that are training Islamofascists? They have 20,000 madras schools in Pakistan training the Muslim youth in Islamofascism, and 55 terrorist training camps in Pakistan, and we give them $660 million a year, and we support the Saudis who are financing the insurgents that are killing our boys in Iraq today. And this is all covered in our January newsletter. You can pull it down off the internet, or if you want a free copy, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And we give large sums of money to the Palestinians, at least we have in the past, and then they set up funds for the families of the bombers, the suicide bombers that went into Israel to kill the Israelis. What's wrong with this picture? Who do you think really is behind this whole world terrorist movement? Well, I believe it's the Prince of this world, and we believe he's alive and well and working in all the nation's capitals today. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.